Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Are you somebody who's worried about your child if something were to happen to you, if you were to get sick? Well, my next guest is going to help you figure out how to protect your finances so that both you and your child are secure in the future so you don't have to worry about them paying for you and anything else. So sit back, relax, and grab your favorite beverage, and I'll see you on the other side. See you there.
I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own. Follow what the group is thinking, bottle up my intuition till it's popping out the box that I don't fit in. I wanna believe in the truth, but only see what I'm shown. Got the freedom to choose, but can't decide on my own.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Inside the Asperger Studios. Today I'm joined with Michael Pereira. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start off with, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me about your story?
Of course. So, I would say I came from corporate America. I was traveling at 70 to 80% of the time. And at that point, when I was in corporate America, I thought that that was my life. I was going to retire in that same type of intense traveling, sales pressure, all that. And with that mindset, I wanted to develop the American dream. Got married, got a house. My wife and I were pregnant. Got pregnant with our first child, Christian. And around a year after Christian was born, we saw several symptoms that, concerned us. But at the end of the day, we were in denial in that phase, I would say. One long story short, COVID came by, was able to stay home, be present, not travel. And a lot of the symptoms that he had reduced. I don't know if it was because the full attention was on him. Don't know if because I'm obviously stricter than my wife, follow instructions. But at the end of the day, he did reduce a lot of those symptoms. But when COVID released, that I started traveling again, started to also look for different type of employers to see if I can do the same, but traveling less to be present. A lot of those symptoms just returned full force, hitting his head against the wall, tippy toeing, aligning stuff. He was nonverbal at that moment. He's verbal now, but nonverbal at that moment. And things came to the table, and we started talking, my wife and myself, and we said, you know what, let me start looking for another employer or try to do something. At that phase, I would say we were in a very dark moment because we were confused, like any parent I would say would be when your son gets diagnosed. And long story short, again, I started looking for also my own financial advisor, financial planner, I would say. And everybody just wanted to sell me something or recruit me, got very frustrated. And I just created, at that point when I got so frustrated, had to talk with my wife, decided to part ways with the employer at that point, and wanted to go into this type of service to be able to help families like mine. Even though I was in financial services, I really wanted to get into the insurance space because, again, this is what's important to me. So I assume it's important for other families. And yeah, developed a blog called The Autism Voyage. The Autism Voyage talks about different, I would say, three different categories. One would be daily living, which is topics around any parent would ask themselves. Sensory stuff, haircuts, swimming, music therapy, any question around those are the type of blocks that are there. Then we have life planning, which talks about, I don't know, topics around guardianship, letter of intents for families with special needs, life insurance, disability income insurance, all that. And then we have the last category, which is called entrepreneur. Why? Because again, when you have in my case, Christian gets 28 hours of therapy a week. Amanda has speech. It's very difficult to carry a 9-to-5 job in the office. So I truly believe in entrepreneurship, either if it's to be able to increase your income within the corporation that you are in today, or just go take the leap of faith and build your own small business. So yeah,
Now,
I hope I didn't overwhelm you.
no, that's all right. Now, what were some of the early signs that made you seek an evaluation for Michael, for your
For
son, for
Christian,
Christian?
yeah. Yeah, the word. I would say, what I mentioned, hitting his head against the wall, tippy-toeing, aligning stuff. When we noticed that he was going to speech therapy, and out of a 45-minute session, half an hour was a meltdown, 5 minutes calming him down, 10-minute session, that we were not taking advantage of that, service. So it came to a point that there were a lot of small things, I would say, that accumulated, and we knew that we needed to address that.
Since then, has he developed any kind of special interest? Has he info dumped anything on you guys about his special interest?
No, I think as many kids in the spectrum, at the end of the day, it's his special interest, I would say, is he loves trains. He loves music. He loves numbers, singing. Now we put him also in jiu-jitsu, in order to take away the tablets, the phones, and we've seen progress there. And we're trying to, not pressure him into being any special, interest, and just go with the flow. If one day he says, I don't want to go to jiu-jitsu anymore, that's fine. At the end of the day, we're trying to just look for that sweet spot that he feels supported, but at the same time, he's progressing.
I mean, that's a good thing, getting away from the phone. One of the things parents don't realize is that their kids have become so desensitized to everything around them because of technology. They have this technology in their hand. By taking them away from technology and bringing them into a whole other mindset of being now, it's so important.
It is. It is. And I would say also it has benefits because there are apps that obviously help him in regards, and even more if they're nonverbal, they're singing, at least they're getting something out of it. But there's also consequences, just not socializing, getting addicted to seeing a specific cartoon or something. Christian is the kind of viewer that would repeat the same scene 10, 20 times, go back to the same cartoon. So by trying to do things, not even outdoor, but just activities, physical activities, like, again, jiu-jitsu, we tried other activities. We tried soccer, but it was, he has elopement, so he would just run away. No holding back there. Then we also were swimming. He saw it as a play date. It didn't really follow instructions there. But in jiu-jitsu, he's seeing other children. He's trying to mimic what other children are doing. And you can see that he's disciplined. He's more getting more sociable. Before, he would just go into the corner in any social event. And now you see the difference. So again, there's pros and cons to the tablets. I just think it's finding that balance, right?
Yeah. Now, does he have any sensory issues?
It's been reducing, I would say, in the last couple months. Before, he did have with loud noises, the blender, when we would go out to the public bathroom, the blower when you dry your hands, textures. So we've been working on that for some while, even trying to go to the beach so he can feel the sand. Or incorporating stuff little by little, but he did had a lot of those little issues. But with time, I think just giving him exposure always helps.
Now, what are some of the joys of raising Christian?
Thinking about that, it's hard to put in words, but I would just say seeing him progress, just the little things, the little details just make us very happy. Yeah, just before, when he was nonverbal, when he started talking, and even today you can ask him, "Hey Christian, how are you?" And he says, "Hey, Kung Fu Panda." At the end of the day, for us, it's pure joy. He's talking more, he's trying to describe what he wants. So that for us is very rewarding. So there's, again, there's no perfect, I would say, answer for that, but we just love seeing him progress, seeing how his sister Amanda, they can communicate together. Just seeing that, it's just pure joy.
Right. Now let's talk a little bit about what you offer. I mean, what services do you offer for families that come to you?
Okay, so in regards to services, I provide comprehensive insurance planning. I basically cater three areas, which are the three areas I believe in as a father. The first one I would say is income protection. Why? Because, for example, if Christian depends on me 100%, and I don't know until when, right? He's very functional. But I don't know, by the time he's an adult, he transitions into an adult, he can make a decision by himself. I don't know. But if he depends on me 100% of the time, and I get cancer, I get into a stroke, have a stroke, or get into a car accident, I'm a couple years out. It's very hard to be able to sustain all the expenses, the house and him, without an income, right? So an income protection strategy, basically it's a coverage that it's a disability income insurance that would replace your income depending on the term you select. But that's a very good way to have that plan B secure, because again, it's if something were to happen to me, or any family, I don't know many families who can be months or years without an income. And at the end of the day, that situation funnels down to the child, right? So that's the first one. The second one I concentrate a lot is using life insurance to fund a special needs trust. So you can, in that special needs trust, you can, there's a lot of ways of funding it, real estate or account, different type of accounts, even retirement accounts. But for me, that fluctuates with the market. So using a simple life insurance to fund it, it's a predictable way to knowing that it will not fluctuate. It's predictable. It's there. And the third one would be long-term care, which is again for parents. Going back to the disability, if something were to happen to me and a Christian depends on me, imagine that, I want it out 40 years down the road, and I need somebody who can take care of me now, but Christian is still, not, he still needs help himself. So that long-term care strategy basically is to be able to provide for that person's care when they're older, for a facility, assisted living facility, nursing homes, that they're becoming very expensive. So those are the three that I focus on. So yeah.
Now, when you have a family come to you, like, what are some of the things they come to you about, and how do you help, like, manage their fears and say, "Hey, listen, if you listen to my advice, we can get you through this."
Yeah, I would say lack of clarity. A lot of families don't know where to start, and I think that's the majority of the families I cater to, and try to ask the right questions, because what we're trying to look is their current state, where they are, their expenses, everything, and see if we can develop a roadmap to get their objective state, to see where they want to go. Every family is different. There's no one size fits all, but the majority that I do attend, is lack of clarity, I would say. That's the most, I see that they're trying to look for that type of advice.
All right. What advice do you have for the families that are just finding out their child is autistic?
To breathe, to just breathe. If they feel anxious, if they confused, they're in the right place. they're not alone. There's going to be moments that you think that you are alone, but you're not. You're going through different type of modes, I would say. You're going through survival mode all the time. Then from survival mode, you go into autopilot mode. And then from autopilot mode into protection mode, there's a lot of things that happen. And again, I would say that if you just got a diagnosis, just again, breathe, understand what, really understand the diagnosis, right? And watch how who you're listening to. And I'm going to tell you why. In my case, when Christian got diagnosed, or not even diagnosed, when we started seeing a lot of the symptoms to which I described earlier, a lot of family would say, "Hey, don't do anything at the end of the day. You were the same. You know, he's going to get out of all this." And that's dangerous, right? Because even though it's my family, they have good intention, but that can procrastinate an early intervention. So some of the advice I would say, if you see that the child has symptoms, just go directly to the professionals. Try to seek that professional information and watch out who you're listening to.
That is so true. I mean, because your family may have the good intentions, but it's the fact that they don't understand what's going on. To them, it could look like normal child behavior, but it's really not. And I think that's where a lot of the issues come in when you're trying to raise a child without getting help, without having the resources.
Oh,
You're
yeah.
taking you're gonna scramble trying to find advice. And you're going to reach out for advice from anybody
Yeah.
without vetting it. And a lot of times I've heard parents wind up hurt because they get the wrong advice
Yeah.
and they don't want, and their child winds up, and then later in life they wind up getting the official diagnosis and it's like, oh,
Yeah.
so it's not a normal behavior.
Correct. Correct. And you know, if you imagine that advice and also being in denial, it's dangerous, right? Because in denial, there within the denial phase, there's a lot of things that happen. There's ego, there's not accepting that there is an issue that needs to be addressed. There's a lot of things that happen throughout that, I would say, moment. So again, my advice would just go to the professionals. And this not only applies to the diagnosis, Reed. At the end of, I see it also in financial. When somebody comes here and then tells me, "Hey, I already have a policy." That's okay, but you can have a policy, and there's a lot of people that try to present, "Hey, buy a term, and if something were to happen to you, your family would receive such amount." That's good, but what if you don't pass away? What if you get sick? So, or even just the policy you do have, is that policy considering your guardian? Like, if I pass away and my mom, for example, she remains the guardian, does my life insurance also consider her income? Because if she's assuming responsibility for my children, she's going to have an expense, or even any other family may even leave their work to be able to become a caregiver. Is that policy also considering the outside of the box, you know, indirect cost that nobody's talking to you about? So again, listening to the, I don't want to say the wrong person, but just try to make it a habit that if you're making a decision and you want to make an informed decision, try to go to a professional first.
So true. I mean, one of the biggest issues I've heard when I first started my show is I've come across people that say, excuse me, that they don't want to use the word disabled because they go, oh, my son isn't disabled. He's able to do things. And I'm like, yeah, but the problem is if you don't use that term, you're not going to get the services you need.
Yeah, in that case, I really haven't I haven't come across of I've heard of cases like that. I haven't come across of a family who is in that type of, I don't know if it's in denial or just doesn't want to hear the word, or is trying to get that type of benefit or services and needs to do that. But again, it's coming into terms, the understanding that if your child needs help and you're trying to avoid saying a word in denial, at the end of the day, it's only going to affect the child.
That's so true, and I think you're right. When people start denying, I think people deny it because they don't want to accept the truth that they have a child who's special needs, because they know what comes next is all the care, all the services they need, and everything else. They're so afraid of that, they try to tackle it, take it on themselves. And then they just wind up burying themselves deeper in financial debt because of everything that's going wrong. And then later in life, they're like, oh crap, I need to financially plan for this child. What is he going to do? What am I going to do? And that's when, like, you come in and say, hey, listen, you got to have some financial stability with it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And that's one of the things, that procrastination also comes in. And I would say the best time to plan would be yesterday. Or maybe not plan, but at least have the conversation. Everything starts with a conversation. I have that in my LinkedIn background. Everything starts with a conversation to understand where you are and what do you need, what type of support. I mean, you may already have some solutions that you may not even be aware of, right? I'm talking to a couple of families that sometimes they do already have a policy that they took out years ago, and they've been paying it, but they don't really understand what they do have. And when they go into it and see that the coverage has a much more than they believed, again, but without having that conversation, you will never know, and you're just going to start speculating. So from going to procrastination, then you start speculating about your current state. That's dangerous, right? So that's another recommendation you haven't asked me, but I would say that to start yesterday having those conversations.
Now, what are some of the most common financial misconceptions you hear from parents?
Common. I will maybe assuming if they're employed, maybe assuming that their employer coverage is enough. That's one of them. That's the majority of it is there that, oh, my employer has me covered, or I have it there. Yeah, but if you move from employers, you cannot take those policies or coverages with you. Also, usually employers change health insurance and other coverages yearly. Those new carriers have their own features, and it might be more, it might be less. So it's, I would say one, the most common would be that one. If they're employed, they're just thinking that their supplemental coverages is enough, and usually it's not.
Now, we've talked, you've already said this. When should a family start planning for their special needs? And you said yesterday. So, you're meaning right when they find out their child is disabled or has a disability, they should start planning right there and then.
And the reason why I mentioned conversation is because if actually going, this is like a response for the previous question as well, is another common mistake is that they wait too long. And when you wait too long, there is a risk of getting more expensive. These type of coverages, as time passes by, it's one of the factors they take into consideration is your age. So if you wait too long to be able to get into a solution or anything, it could become expensive. You may not even get approved by the time you need it or start talking about it. So waiting too long is something that It's dangerous. So I would say again, start having those conversations. Not necessarily you need to be up, have everything up front and have a solution tomorrow. This takes time. These take a couple conversations, but you need to start somewhere.
Well, that answers my next question is, what are some of the risks of delaying financial planning and the consequences are that things change? Policies change, companies change your insurance companies, things get more expensive. I mean that should be a given no matter what when you're doing anything, because even in planning for plane tickets, you don't want to delay because prices go up and down. But it's the same thing no matter what. The longer you wait, the more expensive things get.
Correct. Correct. The same price today is not the same price tomorrow. And you just mentioned it. Yeah, it's just delaying, just thinking that you have everything under control again. And you may not know a lot of, in the conversations I have, we try to deep dive, and most of the families I talk to, the majority say, I didn't know we can do this, or I didn't know this existed. And starting as soon as possible, taking the small steps of being able to book that call and talk to an advisor is essential.
Now, how can families ease their financial stress?
This is my philosophy as a father, is I truly believe, Reid, in acquiring more skills. It's very important because ease financial stress. Nobody's going to come and save you. Nobody's going to knock the door and give you money. You some way, somehow, there needs to be a change of mindset to be able to develop skills that can increase your income, right? Increase your income to whatever you want to do. If your goal is to reduce expenses or you want to acquire something, but you need to increase that income some way, somehow. And I believe that developing skills to be able to do that, it's very important, because again, a lot of the issues I've seen in the community is more of a cash flow issue, right? If you resolve the cash flow, a lot of people, a lot of families feel less stressed and just and have a different mood, even a different day. They see life differently. So within the limits or within your situation, try to see if there's an opportunity to improve in one area. If it's either a skill set that can help you get promoted to a different job or different responsibility that can increase your income, or if you're a small business owner or trying to look for that side hustle, try to develop again those that skill. Go study, get a certificate to be able to help that, because it's going to be tough as time passes by and everybody's just waiting for the perfect moment. There's no, it's like buying a house. There's no perfect day or perfect, if you're waiting for a crash to happen or not, you're delaying, and the best time to start is today.
Now, I want to take a detour. We've talked about families coming to you who already have jobs. Now, what do families do if they're coming to you and they say, listen, my wife and I don't have the most affordable jobs. My husband or the wife is stay at home. What do we do? What should we look towards? Should we look towards working at home jobs? How do we go towards
Entrepreneur.
entrepreneurship? How do we go towards that, and what are our first steps towards that?
That depends on the family. Usually from practical standpoint, I have a budget sheet that I provide to my families to be able to put the expenses, because a lot of families don't even know what's coming in, what's coming out. They have everything automated. And the other day I had a conversation with one parent that after he completed one of the budget sheets, he had his own, and he noticed that he was paying two Netflix accounts. He was paying like the swimming lessons that he thought he canceled, but it was like automatic payment on his credit card. Just getting clarity is you can possibly reduce because you may not see the indirect expenses that you may have because the day-to-day doesn't allow you to just think and stop and reflect. So I would start again trying to understand your current state, try to see if you have a budget sheet, put everything on paper that when you see it visually, it looks different. It looks very different. And from there, you're going to see, okay, based on my situation, does it make sense to look for a remote job? Does it make sense to start doing a license to be able to get to this? I don't know how long the license could be, but if you want to do something, how long is it going to take you to get it? Can you take student loans to do it? Or it depends on the family, but I would always start to understanding what's coming in from a financial view, what's going out, because it's going to give you a very good picture of where you are.
Now, what should families look for in the financial advisor who truly understands special needs planning?
In my case, it's my son, and because we've gone through so many ups and downs, more ups which we didn't believe because at the for us it's a true blessing being able to be in this community, but have try to look for somebody that has understands what it's like to be a parent that is always in survival mode. That is needs help, needs this type of conversation, that needs help thinking about their future because it's very difficult when you have a child that takes 100% of your time to think about 20 years from now. It's very difficult. So I would the things just empathy, try to see if he really, if he's already been, he or her has already been in the community, serving the community. See, again, those are the type of trades I would look for.
Now, when working with a family, what are some of the steps you take to assess their financial situation?
Asking the right questions. Everybody's goal is different, everybody's needs is different. First starts listening. First and foremost, start listening to the situation again. See what they want to do. See if they have any have any type of assets. See if they what they want to protect. Make them think outside the box again. But my conversation is simple. For me, you're not just acquiring a policy. I would say you're acquiring a strategy. And I would say that's what makes me different in the market. But also that's the way I approach everything. Just asking the right questions. You may not be ready now, but at least having that conversation, you're going to know what to expect when you are ready.
And what are some of the questions families should ask a financial professional before working with them?
I would say, just how many years of experience does he has, and does he have working financial services? That's one. How many years does he have working in financial services, but for special needs, in the special needs market? Maybe also talk about other. I only do insurance, but there are financial advisors and planners that know a lot about government benefits, how to apply for them. There's a lot that also talk about long-term care and all those ins and outs. And I would just deep dive and see how, even if it's a state that question, right? How has he been involved in any state activities? If he's involved in any, he or her has involved in any associations that help the community, that's very important to ask that.
How do you handle a family who comes to you and they're like beyond stress, they're in their fight and flight mode and they're scared that they're getting up in their golden years and they don't know what to do and how to plan for the future of their child? How do you ease them down to make them realize that they come to the right place?
You know that there's a coach called I think his name is Jeremy Miner. He's more of a business slash sales coach, and something that he says that I loved and I applied, we applied it for our life, is that we need to understand that it's not our fault, but it's our problem. It's not my fault that Christian has autism, but it's my problem. I'm his father. So we need, I would say, take accountability is the first thing. Breathe, see how you can take accountability, ownership. You're not alone. Again, when you feel anxious, when you feel that you're confused, when you feel that you feel judgment from not only the society, but also family, it happens. You're not alone, but you also need to understand that it's not your fault, but it's your problem. That's the way I see it. And because it's my problem, I just take the necessary steps to say, okay, I need to take control of this. It's like going on a plane. You want to put your mask first before you put anybody, help anybody else, right? So after you take that accountability, you understand that you are the only one that that child depends on, right? That child depends on you 100% and your spouse. And just breathe and see what's, get clarity. What's the next step? If it's from a therapy standpoint, looking for an agency, or trying to apply for benefits, or understanding the therapy. That's something that I also try to express there. I've seen a lot of parents that are very disconnected from what happens in the daily lives, right? For example, I was the other day in an activity, I was talking to a parent. I say, "Hey, how is so and so doing in the therapies?" "Oh, I know he's progressing, but my wife is the one that handles that." That's not, for me, that's not the way of handling things. You know, if it's my problem that he, that not, I don't want to say my problem, but that's the phrase. If my son is 100% depending on me, I should know 100%, 120% what's happening, what's going to happen in all, at all moments. So I think one of the things is, like I mentioned, just getting accountability, ownership, and being able to make informed decisions in a very calm way. And also, I think the diagnosis for us just gave us a spark of curiosity. Okay, what's this? Why speech and not ABA? Or why ABA and not speech? Or should he do occupational, or should he do physical therapy? Like, you gotta get that spark of curiosity, because if not, nobody's gonna come and tell you, "Hey, I think he needs this." They may, but at the end of the day, therapy really starts at home. Like, Christian can have 4 hours of therapy a day or five with RBT, but when he comes home and I start giving him a tablet or doing opposite of what the strategy that the RBT and the BCBA has, I'm not helping him, right? So it's getting there, getting there. But I would suggest, again, clarity, accountability, ownership, and be curious in order to make decisions.
I mean, that's so true of what you said. It's like going for physical therapy and they send you home with a sheet of exercises. If you don't do the exercises, you're not going to get better. If you, it's the same thing with a child who's going to therapy. If you don't practice what they've taught you as a parent, like, these are the things they need, you need to work on, your child's just going to regress back to the old habits.
Or maybe not regress, but maybe not progress, right? That's what you're trying to look for. And when you're so deep into that, I would say, into your child's situation, you're going to see the most smallest progress you're going to see as a big victory.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, because when it's like putting all your work into something, you see it blossom. And then if you don't, you're gonna be scratching your head and wondering why they're not achieving anything. It's because you're not putting the work into your child to teach him the right ways.
And the same, and that same curiosity, which I talk about, which I just mentioned about in the therapy, from a financial view, I think that that curiosity should be applied there. In my case, I only do insurance planning, but there's financial planners that do investments. I don't do that, but there's financial planners who do investments. They do, like I mentioned, government benefits. Try to be curious to see what exact planner or advisor suits you. In my case, again, only do insurance planning because I believe in a foundation. I believe in protecting just in case something were to happen. But there's a lot of knowledgeable advisors that can help you in different areas, have their own certifications, designations that can help you. So yeah, be curious in that area too.
And finally, where can listeners contact you and learn more about the Autism Voyage?
Yeah, in the website, it's www.autismvoyage.com. They can go there. They can fill out a form. They can contact me. I love listening to all families. I get a lot of emails, and I love just hearing stories. So if you have a story to share, or just wanna be highlighted, I even have a newsletter. They can subscribe there. I just love being a people person and trying to, communicate and talk to everybody.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Reed Miles. That was Michael Pereira, and I'll see you in the next one. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.